To unpick some of this confusion and to understand whether an Indigenous voice to Parliament really would be a third chamber of Parliament, I spoke to Professor of Constitutional Law, Anne Toomey.
We have a lot of other bodies already that provide advice to Parliament and that are heard and respected and that influence. The Uluru Statement never said that it was going to be a voice that would dictate or instruct or insist. It was a matter of being heard, not demanding. Clearly, it's not a third house of Parliament. And indeed, to be realistic, you can't have a third house of Parliament unless you actually change the definition of Parliament in the Constitution to add it in as a third house. And if nobody's going to do that, then seriously, this sort of discussion is nonsense. It's just not going to happen. So why are we even discussing it?
So if it's not going to be a third chamber of Parliament, as you say, no one is seriously suggesting, what kind of body would it be?
First of all, it would be a matter for Indigenous people as to how it would be constructed and how they see themselves as being represented. And I think that's a very contentious issue within the Indigenous community. Beyond that, the idea of this is to be able to represent Indigenous views to the Parliament so that we can actually make sure that when we do enact laws that affect Indigenous people, when we do have policies that are directed to them, that actually the money is well spent and the laws and policies are well targeted so that they actually achieve something useful. We've all been going around in this circle for a very long time where we spend huge amounts of money and make enormous amounts of efforts to improve things for Indigenous Australians and they're not successful. At least if people's voices were heard about what would actually work well, then maybe we would end up with better laws. There's nothing that says that the Parliament has to comply with that kind of advice, but simply listening and hearing it might result in the Parliament being able to do a better job in managing Indigenous affairs.
If it is a sort of an expert advisory body, perhaps akin to the Productivity Commission in, you know, being a respected organisation that turns out expert opinion, why do we need an expensive referendum to set up such a body?
Indeed, I mean, that's a good question. You could do it on a legislative basis. The problem is, well, twofold. One is putting it in the Constitution means that it has to be taken seriously. And you can't just get rid of it with a change of government. So one of the things that Indigenous people have been concerned about is that whenever bodies are created to represent Indigenous people, they're popular with one government and then the next one gets rid of them. So you need something that's permanent and something that all classes politically are invested in actually making it work. The other thing that's behind this is that a referendum is not just about changing the constitution. It also has enormous political and moral power because it's the voice of the people speaking. This is not just the Indigenous voice that we're talking about, but this is the voice of the whole of the Australian people saying, we want this to happen. And then putting the pressure on politicians to actually make it work. It's about making the politicians invest in the system and say, right, this is now imposed upon us by the Constitution. Therefore, we have to make this work and make it work in the best and most efficient way, instead of just letting something sort of gradually die, fall into disrepute and disappear.
Well, we're already seeing some backlash to the concept of a voice to Parliament. If the wording around what sort of constitutional recognition should be involved is too woolly in this referendum, would that leave it open to attack, even from people who believe in reconciliation?
Well, we'd certainly want to be very careful about the wording. And as a constitutional lawyer, you can imagine I have strong interest in this. What you'd want in the Constitution would be something very simple, which requires the establishment of a particular body and then gives to Parliament the power to do all the rest of it. You don't want to stick in a whole lot of detail in the Constitution because, as we all know, difficult to change the Constitution. And if something doesn't work, you need flexibility. So the main part of this would be in legislation that the Parliament can enact, the Parliament can repeal, the Parliament can amend. The obligation would be to create the body and to make it work, but the rest would be left to Parliament. If that's the basis and what you put in is a very simple, small constitutional amendment, nothing with sort of broad, woolly provisions that could be interpreted wildly in the future, but you leave most of the responsibility to Parliament to set out the detail, then there's a lot fewer grounds for objection, I would have thought.
Professor of Constitutional Law, Anne Toomey.